Morning. I stood here and listened because it was just so moving and musical that it moved me. We're reading from Mark today. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. The Gospel reading is one of the most intense and paradoxical portions of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus has been actively speaking, teaching, and living the Gospel message, and has confronted the powers, political, social, and spiritual, that stand in the way of the Gospel. And now Jesus begins to tell of the cost of the Gospel and of his expected suffering and death. This is devastating news. Imagine yourself into this story and this teaching. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, and he said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everyone. This feels very strange. I bring greetings. As president of conference, I bring greetings from BC Conference and the executive. And as minister of worship and pastoral care at First United Church in Kelowna, I bring greetings from them. And for those of you who can remember, I bring greetings from Bill and Rebecca, who's now 24, turning 24 this year, and lives in Toronto. Apparently children grow when I'm not looking. I have a small gift. Our community at First really wanted me to be able to bring greetings in a physical way from them to you. And so I have a card that our Sunday school classes were making during the summer. And so I'm not sure what Sunday school class you got. Look and see. You got the 3-4s. So this is a gift for your community, Will.
Marvelous. Can I?
Yes, absolutely. It's... they picked a scripture verse to share with you, and a picture of my tree horse.
All of you is Christ's body, and each one a part of it. Should have had that during the theme conversation.
Oh, I realized that.
I also realized that you're...
make it work. I can be loved.
Yes.
I've been known. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we heard Mark's gospel reading for today. This hinge point, both physically and spiritually, in the story of Jesus as Mark tells it to us. It feels important to be thinking about hinge points in the church right now. If you're in any way active in the church, whether in your congregation or presbytery or at the conference level or beyond, and you haven't noticed that we're in a problem crisis time, a moment of hinging, then you've been living under a rock. We are in a hinge moment for our church. And we have choices we can make. I thought that was interesting that this piece of scripture was up for the lectionary. Will said, what did you want to preach on? I said, lectionary's fine. It's good. It'll work. The Spirit always does her job. And we will follow her. And she has indeed done that piece of work, because in this scripture we are reminded that in this hinge moment, both for ourselves in that scripture, but more importantly for the church, as we think about our work, we need to decide what we're going to do. This piece of scripture talks about the fact that we have to give something up. There's been lots of debates. If you've been following the story over the last few years in the church, you know that we're being asked to give up some really important things. Presbyteries are being asked to give up work that they have held sacred for a long time. The conference is having to think about how it will restructure that. And the national office are asking the question, what can we hang on to and what can we let go of? These are scary times, it feels like, for the church, just like I can imagine that that was a scary moment for the disciples when they heard Jesus call to them and say, you have to make a decision. You have to choose what you're setting as your priorities. What I found interesting about this piece of scripture, if you read the pieces around it, is that Jesus has done an amazing piece of teaching and healing and preaching. People are enamored and enthralled by all that he has to say about God. But where he's having most problems is with the people who run the institutions, the political powers, the religious powers. They seem to be unable to hear or be willing to contemplate possible change. Kind of feels a bit like that in the church right now. Are we failing to hear what it is that God is calling us to? Are we busy trying to protect our institution? And then that makes me ask the question when I go around as president and say, well, can you define church for me? What does church look like for you? Who is church? Jesus never had a particularly successful preaching tour around the local synagogues or at the temple. In fact, Will and I were talking about this last night in relation to my being here. I think when Jesus preached at home, they tried to throw him off the cliff. I'm leaving immediately after worship for my plane. What Jesus had to say to the people was important for them as individuals. He really understood that what God wanted was for them to have personal lives of transformation where they felt fulfilled, where they felt loved, where they felt included, in a world where they were excluded and unwanted and marginalized. And sometimes when I look at our church structures, that's how it can feel. If you're not in the loop, if you're not in the circle, you feel often at the edge. Has our institution as a church become actually a burden to us as church, as people? And as we move into General Council in August, my question is, are we willing to let go enough to let God in to do the work that God needs to do? Because regardless of what would happen this August and what we decide our structures will look like, there will always be church. But it'll be God's church. It won't be our church. So the question for me in this piece of scripture, as I contemplate it as president, is what crosses are we carrying that are wrong? And how do we find the right one? In the Roman Empire, Crosses were like billboards. They declared the power and authority of the Roman Empire everywhere they went. They were there to show people that you could not cross the powers and principalities of the known world and survive. And yet Jesus, in this passage, calls on us to pick a cross up. I see that as us being called to remember what ministries are the most important. What ministries and what pieces of our spiritual life actually reflect the call of Christ, rather than things that protect us and our institution. I've been speaking in my own congregation about the idea of the stripping away, the pulling away of all of the facade of our complex modern lives that often stop us entering deeply into our spiritual lives with God. You know, that pursuit of the promotion, more money, bigger house, bigger car, more prestige. But also the other pieces that separate us in this complex world. Lack of self-esteem, fear, despair, a constant worry about what is tomorrow going to bring. All of these things are part of the facade we build upon ourselves and our institutions to stop us moving deeper into that relationship with God. So when Jesus calls on them to die to the lives that they have, he's really calling all of us into stripping away all of the things that we put between us and God. Because really, if we are willing to let God in, we know our lives will change beyond all measure. They will be so different. Our church would be so different. Everything would be so different. And we would feel out of control. Because so often we know that we're supposed to be in control. Isn't that right? It's about making sure I know what I'm doing and I've got it right. I was talking to a woman. I've told this story a couple times this week because it was a bit of a fascinating story in the terms of this whole letting go. I occasionally go to a gym and work out when I'm home, you know, when I'm not traveling. And I'm working out beside this woman. She works for the Catholic bishop in town. And so we're working out, we're chatting away, we're talking about Lent. And she said, "Have you given anything up for Lent?" I was going to say going to the gym. Because, you know, that would be 2 more hours in bed every day. I said, "Actually, no, I'm not doing it because I'm on the road so much, and I know that there's such great..." Because I'd probably give up a food item, right? Like chocolate or wine. The 2 essential food groups. But I said, "I'm on the road and I have very little control over what I'm going to eat during Lent because I'm traveling a lot. So I'm not doing anything this year." I said, "What are you giving up?" And she said, "Well, the bishop's given me permission not to give anything up." I'm moving over church. Changing church. I said, "What do you mean the bishop gave you permission?" She said, "Well, the bishop, we had this conversation about what he was going to give up for Lent. And he said, I don't give up something for Lent unless I'm prepared to give it up for life." I thought, what wise words. And what wise words to us in the church right now. We're going to have to give things up for life. We're going to have to let things go and let them die so that we may have life. Life new and abundant. And I know for so many of us, this is going to be a tough time because we have built this church up. We have volunteered endless hours to meetings and presbyteries and conferences and at national level and in our congregations because we know the structures and we know all of that is there. And those are safe, familiar places for us. But we also know, well, I know for me for sure, I'm tired of going to meetings. And I'm sure lots of people are tired of doing stuff to hold the institution in place that's not giving us life. So I want to hang on to the bishop's words for the church. What can we give up? What can we let die that will give us new life? That will make space for the Holy Spirit to come in and do her job, that will allow us to see more clearly God's vision of the kingdom, and will allow us to step more deeply into the footsteps of the risen one. Because really, isn't that what church is about? Isn't that what the gathered community is for? To be that? Not to be an endless meeting or a constant worry about budgets or possibilities or policy, but to be the present, here and now living church. I know that some of you will be at conference with me. Wave to me, by the way, when if you see me falling asleep, sit beside Doug Goodwin, wave. Know, whistle or something. But if you're there at conference, I want to encourage you to think about those things, to enter into this time of discernment that we as a church are doing, and to think not about how we can save the church, but how we can let God in, so that the things that we let go may bring us life abundant and new. Thanks be to God.